Appreciate the things that have gone forth and the prayers that have been uttered on our behalf. We're unworthy of such prayers and realize that it's not for us in particular as much as it's for the cause of Christ. We worship a great God. One that we cannot really comprehend how great He is. As some of you know, my father was a minister for many years, and he gave me some advice along the way that I have tried to follow from time to time. And one of those things he said is, whatever you do, son, be honest with the congregation. So my honest feelings tonight is I feel alone. And I don't like feeling alone in the pulpit. It scares me. So we pray that the Lord would be gracious. What we have on our mind is a great subject. But right now we feel very poor to be able to deliver it. So pray for us. Appreciate the prayer that's gone forth, and certainly we stand in need of it. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to the first chapter of Ephesians. I'd like to just begin with the third verse by itself for just a little while. As Brother Mark Quarles has taught me, we need to slow down when we read God's Word, because we'll read right over things. So listen to the first three or four or five words of this verse that we have heard all of our life. But listen to what it's saying. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now just stop and think about that. We can go to what Peter says in the first chapter of 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Same identical language. Does that cause you pause for just a second? How can Paul and Peter bless God? Hebrews tells us in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, in the 7th verse, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Not what I've just read you. The less is blessed of the better. Paul and Peter are saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's just the opposite of that. In that situation, the better is being blessed of the least. Have you ever considered that? Have you ever paused and just thought for a second? How is it that man can bless God? But it's true. Now, to help us with that, there's another use of the word blessed in the same text. Ephesians 1 and 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Can that word bless, used twice in that text, mean the same thing? I don't think it does. There's no way that God, that man can bless God the way that God blesses man. No way. It's somewhat easy to understand how God blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, but how is it that we bless God? And yet there it is. Not once, but twice. Not just Paul, but Peter. Are we supposed to meet tonight and bless God? I think we are. What does that mean? How can puny man bless God? What do we have to bless God with? We understand how God can bless us, because that is the less being blessed of the better. God has multitudes of things that He can bless us with. But how is it that we bless God? I hope that ponders your mind a little bit. How many times have you read that verse? How many times have you heard that verse read? Multiple times. Many times. Probably one of the most read or quoted scriptures in all the Bible. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord. What does that mean? Perhaps Revelations will help us in this. I don't normally think about Revelations helping on some trying to understand a question. It has so many of its own questions in it. But let's go to the 4th chapter of Revelations and then the 5th chapter of Revelations. 4 and 11. Last verse of the 4th chapter. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I think that's blessing God. Let's go to the 5th chapter, the next chapter. 12th verse. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. What is that? That is man rising up from whatever condition that they might be found in, recognizing the honor, the glory, the majesty, the greatness of an almighty God, and to for poor human lips to raise up our voices and say, blessed be our God. He's worthy of our blessing. He's worthy to honor and count His very name as holy, holy, thrice holy art Thou, Lord God Almighty. That's blessing the name of Jesus Christ. That's blessing the name of the Father. That is adorning our Lord with praise and honor and glory and all those things that we've read to you out of the Revelation letter there. Blessed be. Blessed be. Blessed be our God. Why? For He has blessed us with all spiritual... You know, the Lord's blessed us with more than just spiritual blessings. He's blessed us with natural blessings. He's blessed us with health. He's blessed you with a sound mind. He's blessed you with the ability to meet here tonight. He's blessed you with a spouse and with children and grandchildren. He's blessed you with all kinds of natural blessings. Just to be born in a free land where we can rise up and call our Lord blessed without fear of being persecuted for doing such. What a blessing God has blessed us with. But those aren't spiritual blessings. He says here, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We have reason to call our Lord blessed. We have reason to adore the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. He has blessed us. What does that mean? For us to bless God, we've tried to tell you what that means. To adore His name, to honor His name as holy. To declare that He is the great God, in need of nothing, and yet would look upon us. That knows our thoughts from afar off and still loves us. That knows our down settings and our uprisings. That we from experience can say, where can we flee from His presence? If I take the morning of a dove and fly to the utmost, behold, Thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. That's not an eternal hell. That's hell here on earth. He's there. Where can you go from His presence? Where can you flee? Where can you escape? Where can you hide? The darkness and the light are alike unto Him. Where would you flee to hide from God? I know what Adam tried to do, don't you? Fig leaves. What else did he have? Fig leaves. You know what I thought about that? Kind of the first time man's ever used camo to try to hide himself. Sew on fig leaves and hide in fig bushes. That sounds pretty good to me. If I didn't have anything else. But what happened? Adam, where art thou? I think the Lord didn't know where he was. I think He wanted Adam to see where he was. We're naked, Lord. Who told you? How'd you know? You've eaten of that forbidden fruit. I only gave you one law, and you broke it. And you think you can hide from a thrice holy, just God? My friends, all things, just listen to this now. All things are naked and open before Him whom we have to do. Start with that. There's no pretense. Start with the honesty of knowing that God knows you better than you know you. That God knows you better than any other entity ever will or can know you. He knows the very intents of your heart. And He sees you always. He is God. And there is none like Him, declaring the end from the beginning. And from the ancient times, things that are not yet past. You know that's still true? There's things that will yet to come that has not yet come. One of those is resurrection. That has not yet come that He declares will come. But, blessed be His name, for He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. What does that mean? I understand that to mean that He has blessed us, listen now, with divine favor. Let that sink in. He has blessed us with divine favor. As I read the rest of the Scripture to you, and I don't know how much I'll read to you, but as I read this, I want you to identify the divine favor that's in each one of these next verses that I read to you. Okay? You understand what I'm asking? I'm going to read it, and I want you to search what I read and identify the spiritual blessing that's in it, the divine favor that is in what I'm reading to you. According as He hath chosen us in Him. Do you see the divine favor? He has chosen us in Him when? Before the foundation of the world. To what? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That verse is wrapped up with divine favor. We've been chosen. We've been chosen before the foundation of the world. And we've been chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before Him. What I leave out? In love. Oh, church. I know this is basic, but sometimes we need to return to the basics. I know you have heard this. But I wonder if the Lord has blessed me or not blessed me to cause us to stop and to just think of how we bless God by the very fact of acknowledging how He has blessed us, my friends. That's not hard. That's not hard to understand. My friends, if you have not seen the divine favor of God, why would you bless God? What would you bless Him for? How could you see and understand? You know, little children, I've noticed. Believe it or not, I remember being a little child. I do. And little children, they're always interested. I have a little granddaughter that I just love to death. And she's got me, I'm with her in Texas. And she's just got me wrapped around her little finger. And I know it and she knows it. My wife knows it. Everybody knows it. And I don't care that they know it. I acknowledge it. But you know what I've noticed? I can't give her enough. Whenever we'll go through Walmart or something. And she'll just say, "Papa, that would sure look nice on me." I said, "Baby, I think it would." And she said, How about getting that?" I said, "Darling, I don't think you need that." And that satisfies her until her eyes see something else, and here we go again. And you know what? We're the same way sometimes. And I say we need to stop, grow up, and look at the divine favor that God has already blessed us with, my friend. He has given us sufficient reason right now, if He never gave us another thing, to be able to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Let's move on. Might say, Brother Sonny, that one was easy. Okay, how about the next one? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. I don't know if He left anything out, my friends, when you think about that. Listen to it. Who has predestinated us? Your destiny, my friends, is to be adopted into the family of God. We all understand what adoption is from a natural standpoint, don't we? I have tried to look at natural adoption and drawn lessons from it. I've used this example often, and if my children were here, they would say, Dad, that's number 13. Just could number it, not even have to say what it is. In the community that we lived, when we lived in Arkansas, small community, Fountain Lake community, small community, and the churches and the schools were the identity of that community. And we had a couple in that community, kind of an attractive couple, a very tall man and a very tall woman. And you'd notice them just because of their height and how tall they were. And they were just a beautiful couple together. And all of a sudden, two little twin girls showed up. And they were from China. And it wouldn't take a smart person to figure out when those children began calling that man and that woman mama and daddy, that for that to be true, they had to be adopted. You know why? They didn't look anything like their mother and father. You could easily see that they were Asian. The shape of their face was different. The color of their skin was different. The slant of their eyes were different. The color of their hair were different. They were beautiful to look on, but didn't look anything like their mother and father. Do you know the adoption of our Lord? Part of that work of adoption, my friends, is that we began to look like our Heavenly Father. We began to get identified because He changes our nature from that of being related into one family that we were born into, that be the family of Adam, and being now adopted into the family of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We began to take on the divine nature of God. That's unheard of in natural adoption. You know, I have made a knack out of offending people. I'm really good at it. And I would to God that I never, ever offended another person in my life. But I've done so today. I just have a knack of doing it because of this big mouth I got. And I tried to preach on this one time many years ago, and I offended somebody in the congregation. And they came up to me and said, Brother Sonny, we've adopted children. And God blessed us to adopt children that looked like us naturally. I said, well, that's wonderful. And God might have blessed that. But the work of adoption didn't make them look like you. What I'm trying to tell you, my friends, is that the work of adoption here in time, even though it begins before the foundation of the world, won't be end until the end of the world, when these bodies, to wit the redemption of these bodies, that God plants in us. You know what He does? He lets us know we're adopted. It's called regeneration. It's called the new birth. And in the fourth chapter of Galatians, it's called the spirit of adoption. Oh, look at the divine favor, my friends. By Jesus Christ to Himself. What does that mean? Does adoption make Jesus Christ your Father? No. It's to Himself. Adoption has to be to the Father, who is God the Father. But by the work of adoption, not only is God our Father, we find we have an elder brother, Jesus Christ, who's also our Savior. Divine favor. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Do we as old Baptists believe in acceptance? Amen. It's right there. I've just read it. But order makes all the difference in the world. It's not that we accept Christ. It's that Christ has accepted us. How? In the work of the Beloved. You see the divine favor in that? In whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You know how Christ forgives sins? The way a bank forgives debt. You know how a bank forgives debt? When you pay it, they forgive it. Yeah. Yeah. And my friends, our sins were not forgiven until they were paid for. And they were paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as soon as that was accepted by God the Father, my friends, our sins were forgiven. I heard Elder Mark Richards make this wonderful illustration one time. He says, imagine, if you would, a rope burning on two different ends. And when that flame meets together, guess what happens to the rope? It's been consumed. My friends, that flame on either end was the wrath of God upon our sins. And when they met, not only were our sins forgiven, but the wrath of God for our sins was done away with. It had nothing else to burn. There was no more fuel for the wrath of God because our sins have been consumed, if you please. The Lord drank down to the bitter dregs. God's wrath was poured down from heaven as fire falling, rightfully what you and I deserve. But our sins had been imputed, laid upon our Lord. And Christ bore our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And His righteousness was imputed unto us. You know something that I that frustrates me in trying to preach the gospel is that I can be talking about that right now and there's people in the congregation laughing. Right now. I just saw it. That's not your fault, it's mine. I wish God would bless me to be able to preach these things to you that no one laughs. Don't be interested in a baby making a cute face. Look at your Lord upon the cross. And see and understand that's what you and I deserved. This is real. This isn't a theology. It's real. God bore your hell. It should sober us. That should cause us to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can go on and read the rest of this. I won't take time to do that. Something's happening to me that is common to man. I'm getting older. I'm not an old man. I don't think I am. I don't feel like one. I don't think I am. I'm 66, I think. But I have slowed down. I've slowed down mentally. I find myself, unless I concentrate really, really hard, I can't make an announcement properly. I'll get the date mixed up. I'll get the time mixed up. I'll stumble over my tongue. I could just spit those things out and not worry about it. Can't do that anymore. I mean, the miles really don't bother me right now. I can drive all day long. I can drive 500 miles a day. And I'm tired, but I can do that. You know what I can't do? I can't bounce back in 10 hours. It takes a little longer. Now, some of you are saying, Brother Sonny, you hadn't seen nothing yet. And I think that's probably just right. I think that's right. I believe you. I know that's true. I tell older people, they ask how old I am, and I tell older people, and what do you think they say? Well, you're just a whippersnapper. And they're right. Compared to them, I am. Compared to some of you here, everybody's young. My friends, the Bible speaks about that. Let's hear what David has to say. First of all, let's look in the 145th Psalms. I'll just read some of it. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. You know what he's doing? He's blessing the name of God, my friends. There it is. That's what it's about. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. You know, I trust that's happened this weekend. I trust that happens every time you all meet for services. That one generation will speak to another generation and praise God. Let me tell you, boy. Let me remind you, son, that God is great. Let me tell you a little experience I had that's dear to me. Might not mean anything to anybody else. As a young preacher, there was an old brother. I was a young preacher. He was the old brother. And he'd come to church and he'd have clean overalls on, but they were always overalls. That's all he wore. And he had a walking stick. And he'd come in and he'd sit right over there on the bench. And during song service, he'd have that walking stick. And he'd put his head, his arm on it like that. And he put his head down upon the walking stick. And you didn't know if he was asleep or awake. And when preaching service started, he didn't change his position. He'd sit that way. And you'd wonder, some people would look over and say, "Oh, brother so-and-so, he's just hardly able to come to service anymore," and wonder if he's getting anything out of service at all. But if you listen, might not be able to hear it on this carpet, but we had hardwood floors in the churches back then. And if you heard it and you hit something that struck a chord with him, you know what you start hearing? You start hearing that walking stick going up and down upon that floor, my friends. And that was his way of blessing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've hit something that hit him. You struck a chord with him, my friends. And as a young preacher, and in my memory, it's a sweet memory just to think of a thump, thump, thump that I'd hear of that stick, knowing that God had blessed that man once again, even as old as he was. You know, age has a way of starting to make us feel useless. I understand that. Not as much as I will, I guess, but I understand that. When we get so old that we can't care for ourselves and we have to be dependent upon others, when we get to the point, and if we live long enough, all of us will. If you don't think so, just wait. All of us will reach that point, my friends, where we're going to need help. Brother Joe, there might come a day that you're extremely thankful that you married a nurse. We're all going to need help if we live long enough. We used to sing a song, "Time has made a change in me." It has in all of us. It has in all of us. It has. But when we get... I don't know how feeble we'll get. I don't know. Don't want to know. Would you like to know that in 15 years you're not going to be able to feed yourself? I don't want to know that. It might be my lot. I go in the nursing homes and I see people there is that going to be me? I don't know. And you don't know. We don't. But I'll tell you, in God's house, my friends, age doesn't matter. You're able to render forth praise to your God as long as God give you breath. Since I've been here, some of us have talked about seeing people that didn't know where they were or who they were. And when we began to sing the songs of Zion, Brother Joe, something struck them and they began to sing right along with us, my friends. I tell you, that's God working in them. That's allowing even as an older person to bring forth, to say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." One generation shall praise thy works to another. As I look at the young folks around here, thankful that they're here. Some of them are visiting, some of them are homegrown. I'm thankful for that, and I know you are. And mom and dad have a great influence on them. Aunt, uncle, cousins, brothers, sisters. Do you know who also has a great impact on them? grandmother and granddaddy. Some of my grandchildren, I'm their only grandfather they have. The others have died. My daughter, Elisa, and her children, Brother Lindell's parents, both have passed. I'm the only granddad, and Sharon's the only grandmother that they have. We have influence in their lives. How about this? Let us show by our actions, not just our words, our actions, our deeds, that we declare God is great. Let me go to where I want to, and we'll close with this. 71st Psalm. Seventh verse. I've done this today. I am a wonder unto many. I'm a wonder unto myself. I get so frustrated with me. How many times do I have to learn the same lesson over and over and over? I'm a wonder unto myself. And I'm a wonder unto many. Why would I expect anybody to understand me when I don't understand me? Am I alone in that? Am I by myself? I could be. I could be the only one in the building that feels that way. I do things and then I just, you dummy, why did you do that? I say things and I get them back and I can't, they're gone. And yet, God loves me. And not only does God love me, by some wondrous, mysterious way, God's people love me. And Brother Jim, bless your heart, they pray for you publicly, openly. Brother Jim, if you knew me the way I knew me, you wouldn't pray for me. I'm a wonder unto many. That's not a good thing, you understand. But, thou art my strong refuge. Do you take refuge in yourself? Do you take refuge in your being? Do you take refuge in your bank account? Do you take refuge in your 401k? Where do you take refuge in? You take refuge in mom and dad? As a child, we did. I was with the family this afternoon where a little boy bumped his head and he got up and he knew right where he was going to run. And you know what happened? Before boy got to mama, mama got to boy. I've seen a wonder. I've seen a group, been in a group where a bunch of us were sleeping in cots and so forth and so on in a church house. And a baby cry out. And of all those mothers that was in that night in that place sleeping at an association, the only one that seemed to have woke up was the mother of that child. Everyone else just slept on. That's a wonder to me. A mother knows the voice of her child. I've shared this with some of you while I've been here. It's been a while since I've seen this. I hope to see it again before I die. I suspect to. But there has been times, there's been times when someone or multiple ones in the congregation have become pregnant and were able to come to church throughout the entire pregnancy. And as they bore that baby and then brought that baby to church, and as I began to preach, not often, it's not a regular occurrence, but I have seen the baby in the arms begin to look around and try to find where that sound is coming from. And I've seen a few, as a child, as a small child, find the sound and fix their eyes upon me and for 10 minutes not take their eye off of me. That's a wonder. We had at Old Union one time a lady whose sister was a member, she was not, and she had her child and needed to bring her child to her sister to babysit, but her sister was at Rich Mountain Association. So they brought the child and dropped him off and left, and there this child was that had never been to an old Baptist house in their life, and there we were in Rich Mountain Association, and that aunt brought that child in, and it absolutely terrified that child. The noise of song service terrified. That child screamed in fear, finally to the point that had to take her out. You know what my children did? Much like your children. Oftentimes, when we wanted our children to go to sleep, we didn't have a child like you do, Brother James, where we could say, Cody, it's about time you go to sleep, and he went to sleep. That didn't happen to my children. But I tell you what did happen. We could put on a singing tape in our children's bedrooms, and you know what? All the boogeymans disappeared, all the monsters under the beds disappeared, and they lay down and they went to sleep soundly under the very sound that would terrify that child. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, my friends, one generation taught that to another. And they might depart from it, but for a while, my friends, for a while, they're at least beginning their life by being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I am a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. See, when folks get old and they get weak, people think that, well, God's forsaken them. No, no, no. Don't mistake that physical weakness for spiritual weakness, my friends. God is able to bless. And God does bless. I've seen it. I've gone to try to encourage people only to find myself encouraged by those same people. I tried to go in and they said, let us pray. I want to hear you pray, Brother Sonny. And I think, you need to pray. I need to hear you pray. But listen to this. 17th verse, 71 and 17 of Psalms. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto to have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, 18th verse, O God, forsake me not until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation. My friends, there's always this generation into the church. There's always a place, older folks, for you to show, unlike a minister or unlike the young folks can show, that you can show God's strength to this next generation. I was at the Inmate Association this year, and we got talking about, of all things, whatever you call grabbing the catfish under the banks and all that stuff. And we had a young sister, not that young, but we had a sister there whose husband does that, and she started just making all kinds of fun and saying something, and saying this and saying that and saying this. And there was an older sister says, "Oh dear, no. I remember sometimes that was the only meat we had. Let me tell you what we've done." And started explaining her experience with, you know what that was? She didn't know it was that. But that was the older generation telling the younger generation how God had provided for them at the very thing that you're making fun of. Don't make fun of that. That was God's blessing upon us at one time. That was God's mercy upon us at one time. My friends, blessed be the name of our God. Blessed be His name. For He has blessed us with all. There is not a spiritual blessing that is not in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Forgive my poor way of having delivered this to you. But may God bless you that next time you hear, and there'll be a next time, next time you hear that verse read, that you pause for just a second before you get to, because oftentimes when you hear Ephesians 1 and 3, that's just the beginning to get to something else. But just pause for just a second and hear what it just said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You, O Baptist, have reason to rise up and call the Lord blessed. You know, in the 30th chapter of Proverbs, who can find a virtuous woman? Remember all that? You know how that ends? Thy children shall rise up and call thee blessed. Will children of Zion, Mother Zion, children of the church, let us rise up as a people in a unified voice, young and old alike, and say, blessed be our God. May God bless you is our prayer.